Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. Have any questions about the lesson, we'll do our best and the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like mail your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, we want to thank God for all you listening. This is the 7 o'clock hour, Central Standard Time, here in the United States. And for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know what that means. The Full Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee. So, as we await for our brother to come on once again, I want to take this time to thank the Lord Jesus for all of you that is listening far and near. And may the Lord continue to bless you, your families, and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is a beautiful, blessed day in the Lord. Last temperature I've seen recorded here in Durant is 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Many of y'all know this is the first day of daylight savings time. I personally love this time ever since I was little. I never liked the other time because to me it got dark too fast. I mean, I remember when we would come from school, we used to get out of school like at 2:50 something. So getting from there and walking home, I say we will make it to the house roughly maybe by what, 3:15, 3:20? Okay. And really, we would get dark around 5 o'clock. So you had like an hour and some minutes left of daylight. Okay. And, you know, especially for us, we want to play. Yeah, we had homework. Okay. But especially for those of us, you know, wanting to go outside, man, you know, you might well just have went to school and went home, okay, because you only had an hour, some minutes before it would get dark. But I like this time because, you know, it wouldn't get dark until like 8:30. So, you know, you can been and did your homework, and then you can go out there and play, and it still be some daylight, okay? But I've always enjoyed this time. You know, I always have, even when I was growing up. And so praise be to God. So it is a blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank God for this day, and we thank God for the opportunity to give the word of God to you guys. And once again, I want to encourage you all to get closer to the Lord, get more in the word, get prepared in Christ. This word goes for me, myself, as well. Because people, things are, like I said, God is blessing his people, going to bless his people. But also, too, there are going to come some challenges. And we need to be in the place with the Lord in order to come through it. And that's the place of faith. It's going to require greater faith to come through these things, people. And, you know, the Lord wants his people to know this. And he wants us to prepare. So, you know, hey, get ready, get prepared. I know some of y'all got things going on in your home and on your jobs and in the church and all that, but hey, don't let nothing distract you or destroy your faith in Christ. Nothing or nobody. I don't care who it is, from your husband to your wife to your kids to your, you know, your family, friends, associates, don't let no one destroy your faith in Christ. Amen? Let no one. You know, Job's wife told him to curse God and die. Now, this is your wife, okay, telling you to curse God and die, okay? And he told her she was talking foolish. Now, if he'd have listened to her, that could have destroyed her faith, destroyed his faith. Even when his friends were coming at him, stuff they were saying could have destroyed his faith. Even when the bad news he'd be getting from those who were working for him about what happened with his flock and all that, that could have destroyed his faith. So don't let nothing or no one, people, destroy your faith. You can best believe during these time of challenges that you're facing, you can best believe that someone is going to bring you, quote, some bad news. Okay. But your faith got to be in Christ. Okay. They're gonna bring you some bad news. Okay, that's why you're here on this earth. That comes. Okay, but the most important thing is, where is your faith? Who is your faith in? Is it in Christ? Is it in people? Is it in things? If it's in people, or it's in things. Definitely, you're going to go down. But if it's in Christ and remain in Christ, listen, you can come through this, people. So don't let nothing or no one destroy your faith. Amen. So, further ado, let me click my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Hello, hello, sir. Shalom, Amiska. I think about, you know, there is a saying that we say often among religious circles, look where the Lord has brought me from, a mighty, mighty long ways, and I'm here today to tell about the goodness and faithfulness of him. Today, I thank God for you and for all the ones of that same faith brotherhood around the world. And I want you to know we are one, seated in Christ, jointly fit together by his covenant of blood and by his love. So there's many people out there today around the world as we come to broadcast this day to share with them a common faith in the hope that is only in Christ and his hope and his love and his forgiveness and his desire that all would come unto him and find peace and rest and a hope for eternity. So, handmaids tonight, we greet Jesus, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit and the people of Black same faith around the world, the women especially, the mothers and the wives and the ambassadors of goodwill, many women who are going around the world and ministering hope and help and health and teaching people how they can have life and have a good life and preparing them for the next life. Wonderful Jesus, as I say today, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Lord. Amen. Now, brother, maybe we can decree a faith that this time next year you might be on the viewer scope called, what they call it, TV or what scope, and hallelujah.
Amen. Let's decree it, brother. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
I'm blessed of the Lord, brothers. God bless you all.
Bless well, hello there. Hello.
I decree and I agree, brother.
Well, good for you for your courageous faith. Glad that you just step up to the plate and say, hit the home run. I'm with you. Okay. Oh, that's good.
Amen.
I can talk with Cuddle Sister. Sister, I've been on this walk for a long, long time. we are the leftovers, I guess, from the original pioneers of faith, and we still running the marathon. And so Sister Anderson and I have been around so long, and you look around, those that we started with, they're gone to the Lord or they're going away, which way, one way or the other. But she's still hanging tough. Her faith and her hope still hanging tough. I often look at Sister Anderson and I said, how does she weather the storm? How does she weather the storm is amazing to me. God is
amen.
A faithful God. He got to be a faithful God and a loving God that calls us to endure hardness like a good soldier. And your faith and your diligence, sister, is always into me and it helps everywhere you go. And y'all, both of you had this great smile and hopeful word. Like Sister Sally Bruce, she had that same whenever you would greet her into her presence, you and her could likewise be, in hospitality and hope and a word that God's going to see us to a better day. And you and her, Sister Sally Bruce, and you yourself are always coming into your presence has been always a help of a better way and a better day. So thank God for that. Me. And that Brother Nate, he's been through a lot of windstorms and tornadoes, and but he keeps pushing forward. And he has that same daring stuff like Brother Robert Gross did. Him, in many ways, their profound faith of diligence of weathering every storm and still standing. And so it is still standing. When the messenger of the Lord says, you will see them fall on your right and on your left. And that has always been a joke. When I read that angel's message, he says, many, many will fall on the right and many on the left. Many will recover. Some will recover and some will not. And it's always, but he says the Lord will not forsake the faithful and true, that he will be with you all the way. And even if you fall, and if you fall, you bear he's there to pick you up. Because whenever you fail or have a temporary failure, it can be to a greatest blessing to your life. And at the instant you fall, you can understand that the Lord is greater than your failure, and he can pick you up, and he will pick you up if you take hold of his hand. And he'll turn your temporary failure into a greater victory and will make the devil look like a fool that he is. And out of that failure, he'll tell you and show the world that even though you falter or fail or stumble, I am there to show you and show the world you can get a greater testimony of what God can do and will do in your life. Hello, everyone, dear beloved sisters. There's the fighter, and you know they are making all kind of films about women being warriors on the market, and they're making this movie especially about some of the women of color, African women. And they made several movies lately about women's warriors from the past in the African history, how they were warriors, women warriors. I kind of like that. And we are called to a great calling, being a mother, bearer of children, and wives, and I think that's a great calling. I think it's belittled, the role that wives have to play, and I don't think it is given the highlight that it should, that a woman who becomes a wife and a mother and a husband and do all that she can to keep the family going and bearing the difficulties and during the teaching and sometimes bearing the cross seem like alone. So I commend. And I keep doing this because everyone has something unique in their lives from their mothers or the people who became a mother for them. Now, people may not have a biological mother. She maybe left them or gave them to the orphans or somebody, but the Lord always provides. He provides someone to care. And a lot of our children today who've been given away and unwanted need someone to care. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. So true.
And so God is so faithful to hear the cries of the orphans. And we don't talk about, the Bible talks a lot about the orphans, the motherless and the widows, and the role they play and the need of God making you a surrogate mother or a spiritual mother to children that need a real mother's love. So I'm grateful today. I was blessed that I had my mother and father, my grandmother, grandfathers, and uncles, and I was triply blessed by them being there and filling any holes or needs. That I had a family that was big. Back in those days, your whole family, uncles, aunties, and grandmothers, they all surrounded you. And they were actually your family of love. So anyway, I was more blessed, and I had my biological. But that's more to being just birthing children. You have to learn to be a parent. And a lot of people are having babies, but they're not parents yet. They birth children biologically, but they haven't learned how to be a parent to those lives. And so I think that this generation is lacking a lot of that. They know how to birth a child and all that kind of stuff. That's about a lot of it. They don't have not learned. They have not learned. They have not learned yet. So, fill in the gap. Now, let's read a scripture here. We start out by talking about the strong man, the devil's kingdom, and how we're getting ready to attack and declare war against the devil's kingdom. Because he has declared war against us, we must decree and declare war against the devil and his kingdom. So, we're not to sit idly by the roadside and feel sorry for ourselves. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. So let's declare war against the devil's war and rise against him. And especially, we start with attacking the strong man. Hallelujah. Oh, if we would be trained, equipped, and skilled in warfare, spiritual warfare, there would be a difference in every area, in every city, in every corner. If that were trained, matured, established spiritual warriors, if they were there, and they were launching the tools and the weapons of their warfare, Satan could not do all that he's doing now. He would tend to stop and block and running back and filling his toes, because the weapons of our warfare in Christ are mighty, mighty through God to pull in every stronghold of that devil. That means doing him damage and hurt and pain and making him the run instead of us doing the running. Too many Christians are running, and the devil needs to be rushing. The Bible said, draw near God, submit yourself to the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll do some running. It's just a good feeling to put the devil on the run.
Amen.
Everywhere you look at, it seems like people are stalling. And they're living in fear like they are nobody. And I want you to read something in the 18th chapter of Psalms right quick as we talk about the war, declaring war against our chief enemy in the heavens and on the earth. Now, in the 18th chapter of Psalms, would somebody read the first 18 verses, or somebody can read six, and somebody read the other six, and somebody read the other six. We'll start out with sharpening our arrows against the enemy, sharpening our tools, getting ready to launch an all-nation war. Now, against the adversary of all mankind. Someone want to read 18th chapter of Psalms.
Psalms 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. O Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall be saved from my enemies. Sorrow of death come past me, and the flood's ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrow of hell compasses me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried cried unto my God. He heareth my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he robed upon the cherubim and the cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him, with dark waters and a thick cloud of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hail, storms, and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest giveth his voice, hail, storms, and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shook out lightning and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters with foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at thou blast of the breath of this nostril, he sent forth above. He took me. He drew me out of my water. He delivered me from the strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my staff, my faith. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
Okay. David is the epitome example of both kinds of warfare, not only in the physical but in the spiritual realm. Because the enemy, though they made physical armies of men, they was backed by demon forces and demonic powers. They were the enemies of Israel and the enemies of the living God. The spirits of demons fueled them in their warfare. But Israel had the living God, Yahweh, Jehovah, on their side. And they had the eternal God, the creator of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the enemies, the forces of evil from the nations of the earth of that day who served pagans, idolatries, and demon gods. And so actually it was a spiritual war, even though they fought in the flesh, against the armies of the things or the Canaanites, but Israel, they were, these nations was under the control of the powers of darkness. And here you see the revelation of a truth about a true warrior and a true battle that wages not only in Israel, but speaks to us today. Well, our warfare is primarily in the spirit. The military of our nation, they fight physical wars against physical enemies. But we are a military formed by the living Christ. And we fight the real battles behind the scenes, which are spiritual wars. And the wars in the earth may take form in different shapes of our physical hemisphere, but actually, there are demonic powers who are behind all of the conflicts of the earth. All the evil, all the armies that are seeking to take away the liberty of a people who call Israel or the Christian church. They are now on the front line and the ones who are called the redeemed in Christ are now called to step up and get on the front line of battle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are recruited by the Lord Jesus. And let's read something. We have been recruited. If you're in the body of Christ, born again, washed in the blood by his Holy Spirit, you have been recruited and called. And we call it, we've been called and selected and also elected to be the elect of God in this hour. Now look, the warriors in the Old Testament, men who fought the battles against the enemy, were trained and they were a special elite group who fought with David. They were called what we call the special forces.
Okay.
And they were called what we will call in the military term rangers and special forces and elite group. And they were trained specifically for war. You can read all about David and these 300 or 400 special men who were anointed of God and anointed for war. God has anointed us for war.
Amen.
He has anointed and chosen us as elect to stand up to the evil and the wicked one who's trying to take over the nations, the business, our government, our homes, our education, over our children, over our community, over our homes, and over our family. And we are going to stand up to this wicked one because the Lord said, fear not, need to be afraid.
You're not. Amen.
And Joshua, I will be with you. And when they went over to conquer the giants, which represent demonic power, in the land of Joshua, he said, fear not, neither be afraid or dismayed. For I will be with you. And I will, in other words, give you the victory over these giants if you walk and obey my commands. Now, we are in the same situation, spiritually speaking. We see America, and particularly not only America, but the rest of the world, but America in particular. And we'll talk about why America in particular and why Jerusalem in particular is the centerfold of Satan's Satan attack. And people are wondering, why is the Pacific centerfold as the strategy of Satan against the Jews in Jerusalem and the Israel in America? The Christian church, the true born redeemed church of Jesus Christ, has been selected and recruited. Some special people are given special faith, and special anointing. Now, everyone is not given the same position, not given the same gift, but they're now given the same anointing, not the same talent, but they have been selected. They have been elected.
Yes.
And if you know, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Quickly, Ephesians chapter 1. We have been selected in this hour, and we are called what Romans call the elect of God. Now, the elect of God, hallelujah. You are selected, but you had to become the elected. And how do you go from being selected, being called, and chosen, and being the elect? Well, let's see. King David had a bunch of men around him, and if you read about him, out of all the army, he had a select who became the elect of him in battle.
Amen.
They were anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And one man in this army could slay 300 men, one man. In David's army, one warrior could slay 300 men.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
One.
Amen.
One was anointed with such terrific power of elective God in battle that one of David's men who were among the elect three, and then he had another group called the elect 50, but the elect three, no one could withstand those three. Those three who were known at such that they could slay 1,000 or 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said, God is all wise. What is he going to do for us in the latter days?
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to deal with us? That's it. Writing the epitaph of fighting a spiritual war against the enemy from the heavens down to the earth. Now remember in Ephesians, we're going to read right quick.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians. And in Ephesians 1 and 2 gives you the roadmap and strategy that we are to have in these latter days to overcome the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. Satan has a select group of generals,
yeah,
and principalities and powers. Then you have another group under them called the powers and rulers. And under them is another group that called the demons and evil spirits. They are selected and they are chosen to do certain things on the earth. Right now,
uh-huh,
in America, around the world, there is so much sorcery,
yeah,
and worshipers of demons. There is a satanic church. There are people who are coming out who are actually making a covenant with Satan openly. There are people,
mm-hmm,
who are witches and warlocks and,
yeah,
sorcery. They're even in the White House.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, there's in a few other houses, too.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Brother Nate is declaring a lot of stuff on the broadcast, and we'll be voting a lot of stuff that's going to upset a lot of apricots.
Uh-huh.
So are you welcome, Brother Nate? Are you welcome yourself to have the number one spot? Or do you want to keep the number one spot?
No, sir. I'll leave that to y'all. I think I'll let y'all have it.
But Goliath is going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I said Goliath.
Yes.
Gonna show up.
Amen.
Amen.
Bring it out.
Every one of us gonna have a Goliath battle.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Ready or not?
Amen.
Ready or not?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Ready, prepared or not? You're
mm-hmm.
going to be a Goliath.
Yeah.
So no use of hiding and say, well, I'm in the army, but I'm not in to do no fighting. I'm going to leave that up to Brother Nate or one of the apostles, or one of the elders to do some fighting, okay?
Mm.
Wow. I see you getting ready to get your head chopped up real quick, because you don't know what you have
yeah.
been elected to. In the army of the Lord, you have been recruited. Now,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It reminds me that you have to be prepared. As I told you, I was walking home one night, and I just got off the airplane at Midway Airport, and I took the bus all the way over to Hyde Park. And I decided to walk and get off the bus because it was late at night. And I ain't going to wait. I walk these 4 or 5 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, I'm very watchful, naturally speaking, very observant. This guy, while I was walking him down, this guy, Drexel, and my mind was drifting away on what I experienced because I had come down from the church in Missouri and I had come back on the airplane and coming back home. And this guy, I heard his footsteps behind
mm-hmm.
me. But my mind was, how your mind gets caught away in thought and you don't hear, like you don't see things going. You'd be so contemplating on what you're thinking. And I heard the
hey.
Guy's steps. And I heard boom, boom, boom behind me. Now, he was upon me before I come to myself, before I awaken. and he was up on me that quick. I'm going to tell you that you can't keep yourself. I don't care how watchful you are in the flesh. You can do things and be careful.
Yeah.
But as a part, you cannot deliver yourself. You can't keep yourself. So this guy was on me. He was very tall. He's about 6 foot five, 6 feet tall guy. And he had this knife. And he was on me that quick. And before I could think, he was on me. Of course, I was surprised because I watch so carefully. People don't sneak up on me. But they let me know you can't keep yourself. Preserve your life.
Amen.
That's right.
Real deliverer. You can see one thing, but you can't see everything. So,
amen.
This tall guy, big guy, when you're in battle, the army and the enemy you have to conquer first is fear. But you're going to win a battle. The second thing, you have to know who you are.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you're not sure who you are and your place in the battlefield,
mm-hmm.
the second thing, you must have confidence of your position in life or in Christ. If you are not confident of knowing who you are and who you are in him, that's you must know who you are in Christ and who he is in you, who has called you.
Yeah.
You must know this. You can't get in the middle of the battle and go, well, I wonder who I am. I wonder what my authority, my place is. I don't tell you. Well, you better know or get to know it now. Ephesians explains this very clear.
Mm-hmm.
We are to know him and know who we are. And he says the position we hold in the army, we are seated in him. Now, he's taken the understanding as he talks about being a servant, being a disciple, being a follower, being a member, but he didn't take us to the place of the battlefield where we are a warrior. This is why most people are not trained in warfare. They're trained to be a good servant, and that's good, disciples, and winner, and that's necessary. But here's the part where we are lacking, the call to war. That's why Brother Nate, but Nate Hunt, our brother, have been talking for years about a training school. And why we need a training school. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You still believe they need a training school, brother? Teach school.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, he was informing me so fast and so quick, and you have to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are in him and your position if you are seated with Christ and where your authority is come from you knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Your
Amen.
Authority come as he first you he's your father and you his son or his daughter, but then you are selected to another cause to war and how to win.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is not training us to lose. He trained us because he's already won every battle and every victory to let us know we also can win because of him. Now, I got trying to tell you about how I got free in that moment. That moment he was upon me, fear tried to hit me, and immediately I dismissed fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I said in my mind, what shall I do, Lord? So you got to know who you are because a lot of people try to cloud your mind from the enemy. If you don't not sure, you got to be. If you're going to go in war, you better make sure who you are.
Amen.
And then know your place in him. So the guy, he was after my wallet, and he kept put his hand in my pocket. So I said to myself, what should I do? I went to the natural mind. I said, should I flip this guy over my shoulder? So I dismissed that. I said, now, Lord, I spoke a word as the Lord told me to declare this word to him. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
And as that word came and I spoke him to him, he stepped back off of me.
Okay.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And I walked away and went on my journey. There's a little more to the story, but I let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Ephesians, it talks about a position and a place that you are to
mm-hmm.
place in him. Now, as you read
okay.
Ephesians, as you read both chapters, you get a gleam of what's been missing in the Christian's faith
mm-hmm.
in many areas.
Yes.
We've been told in many areas that we're just weak servants of the Lord, just a member of something. And so we stay there because that's what we're told that we are. You understand why the messenger of the Lord says, I come to restore all things. We don't really get that yet. We haven't understood it fully yet. When he says, I have come to restore all things. And I'm to give you, look what the angel said, declare the full truth, the whole truth.
Yeah.
Now, if you understand why he has said that, preach or teach the whole truth.
Uh-huh.
The full plan of God.
Yes.
In other words, don't stop there. I gave my life to Christ. I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church. That's a good start.
Uh-huh.
A good beginning, the right beginning. But you can't stop there.
Amen. Yeah.
That's why many people are stuck right there.
Yeah.
They're right at the edge of the water pool, just came out of the water, and that's great. That's marvelous. That's the beginning. But they're stuck there.
Huh.
You are my daughters. You are my redeemed. You are my military recruitment.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
You are the elect to do battle.
Good
you
Lord.
Are the body of Christ.
Thanks.
You are
yes.
the Lord.
Yes. Jesus. Thank you. Yes.
The enemy. Don't care no cuss are you a man or a woman, he would knock your socks off. He's not
concerned
about your gender. You can't win with your gender. Now, understand because you're a man, and a man has a certain right, but he can't win because he's a man just because he's a man. You can't win just because you are a woman. You can't win just because you're a certain color, a certain ethnic group. You can't win the spiritual war by those means. The weapons of our warfare. The weapons of your warfare.
Yeah.
The weapons of your warfare. Paul emphasized this. The weapons of your warfare.
Weapons of our warfare.
Children, we are in a war.
Amen.
The devil is going to throw everything because he knows he has a short time.
Amen.
So we got to stand together in unity. And the devil has done a job to Christianity to make them broken, disunity, and disfire, and he has did to most all Christian groups. For the power of it is, if any two will agree.
Amen.
Now, this agreement is going to stun the devil and hinder him. That's why it always starts with the home. If the wife and husband who made the first covenant, usually, the two great covenants, first is with the Lord, the second is in marriage. Why do you think the devil is trying to break up all covenant marriages. I ain't talking about no boyfriend junk. I'm not talking about I love you, we don't need no covenant junk. That ain't no covenant.
Amen.
Why do the devil hates a covenant? Well, we don't have to get married. We already married. We all in love. That's a devil playbook.
Yeah. Amen.
When you make a covenant relationship, that means more than what you think. Because God deals with covenant.
Yeah.
He works through his covenant. And the covenant of marriage is so important why the devil is running Shadrach in the earth trying to destroy the very covenant between a man and a woman coming together under the covenant. And most people don't know why the devil is playing all these games with gender. They don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two men are married, or two drag queens, or let's change over here, and we don't have to go to the white man's courts, and we don't have to do this. Why is the devil so into throwing the covenant of marriage before God? Why?
Uh-huh.
Well, we love one another. We girlfriend, boyfriend, and we've been together all this time. Yeah, you've been in the covenant of devil, of the devil.
Uh-huh.
Because we have to call it like it is.
Good man. Right.
Yes. Amen.
When the devil destroyed the legitimate covenant of God to bring a man and a woman, you don't understand what's taking place in the spiritual realm when the devil has deceived the world in thinking that two men can marry and two women, and you can get an operation and change your legacy or what you're biologically worth. You don't understand the spiritual consequence. That's why those people up in the government and all their blinding, they don't understand the spiritual consequences.
Amen.
They don't. The president, the governor, they don't understand the spiritual consequences, even though most of them are good Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the Catholic people now. I love them the same love.
Right is right. Yeah.
They just blind.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, we're going to pray before I get off of here. The covenant relationship in the earth, Satan must break it. Don't you know the angel message says in verse 20, message 90, Satan would do all he can.
Yeah.
And he's going to come against the nation, the church,
mm-hmm.
and the home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do you want your home? And that he wants your children not to be under a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't understand that why he wants your children born to come on a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has something to do with Satan having a legal right to do certain things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. Let's see this. As we attack the enemy today, starting out, Matthew 20, Jesus talked about you must destroy the strong man first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When David met the strong man, Goliath, showed up. And when he showed up at the head of the army, the warrior, a giant for the Philistines, and they sent him, they sent Goliath out.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And David says, let me tell you what my faith is. The Lord God Jehovah gave me the victory over the bear. He came.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I slew him.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the lion came.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who is this? Who is this? Who is
mm-hmm.
this? Who dared to challenge? He said to the devil in the spirit, who is this giant who dared to challenge the army of the living God. Who is
yes,
there?
Lord.
Where is this 16-year-old boy? Maybe between 16 and 17.
Yeah.
And he stood up and said, who is this uncircumcised?
Yeah.
The dad to challenge the army of the living God.
Amen.
Bold,
who he was.
Courageous, strong, and daring. And the, all of Israel was shaking and trembling. Same way we find, you know, a lot of people in the Christian world, they're shaking and trembling. I understand that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, they haven't been good about with proper truth. They have not been good about. They're good people.
Amen.
Now, beloved, the war is on. Why do you think the angel said in the 88th message, the angel came and his brain and he brought this 88. You know the number 8 and 8. No, I don't believe in lottery and not gambling. I'm not giving you no number. That's not what that about. So don't get all into that crap.
Amen.
I'm gonna run out and play that number, guys.
Yeah.
I heard that in church. It said that made me go. I'm gonna win this lottery. Whatever. 8 is the number for a new beginning, tunnel number. When I was studying the Bible one time back and I was praying, I said, and I was reading in the Bible, he said 7, the Lord said 7 has a spiritual meaning. The number 8 has a spiritual meaning. So I want you to read all the messages in the word of the Lord, 7.
Okay.
And start at 7 and 7 this and 7 and 7 and get to you. And when you get to all of these spiritual numbers, you will find a certain pattern that God uses. When you get to the number 8, read the 80 message. When you get to the 88 message, come to the 77. They have a spiritual, a symbol of spiritual things. So I did that. And I found something amazing when I did this. Now let's, as we close, we just about got a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Now, he let me know that every number, numerical number, has a spiritual significance and value. The number 666 in the Bible, they talk about the anti and the false Christ, always number 666.
Right.
Now, that's why I say the principle of the gospel is not 6, because God's spiritual pattern never stops on 6. The spiritual number of the gospel are 7 principles instead of 6. No, I'm not trying to change anybody. I'm just talking about a pattern of God. No, I'm not trying to, I'm just saying what I'm learning. Unchanging. Now listen, as we go out tonight, we'll start on the road that leads to Pentecost. And my next subject is, why did the message say in the 85th message, Pentecost must come?
Amen.
We'll get on that a little later, as what that had to do with the war. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And why hardly anybody in certain areas won't preach on it or teach on it. Now, Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection, each day. You see, Jewish feast, Pentecost. Now, we're going to start to pray today against the strong man. First, we're going to say, we're going to start at our children, because that's where the devil starts at. When the devil wants to control a nation, he started at the home and the children. You know that. When you want to capture the mind He starts with the children. That's why he got to get into education.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mhm.
And Sister Helen there, in dealing with the children.
I'm here.
Yeah, I know you're there. But as you ask you, why the enemy is so interested in starting with the children?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to re-educate them.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
First thing, he took prayer and Bible out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
He took the prayer to Jesus and the Bible and Ten Commandments out of the government places.
Amen.
Amen. That's true.
Amen.
All right, we're going to pray. Okay. Do you know he didn't take the prayer out of the Catholic schools?
Hmm.
Well, okay. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Took them out of the public school.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say anything to the Pope.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
As we come in agreement in these past 2 minutes, I want us to say, Lord, we church and agree.
Lord, we church and agree.
The angel of the Lord came and said.
Yes, Lord. The angel of the Lord came and said.
That Satan would do all that he can. To hinder, to destroy. Create stumbling blocks.
Create stumbling blocks.
To discourage and hope. And the faith of many.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, come against. Break his yoke by true belief. The Lord, we getting ready to break his power and his yoke.
Come against him.
In the name
today,
of Jesus.
Right now,
yes.
Over our right. individual homes and our individual children and our grandchildren,
Lord.
We take
yes.
a stand with the rod and the staff.
Yes, Lord.
To destroy him that starts with the home, our children, and our children.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We lift the sword,
yes.
the rod of the Lord, against the strong man.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Over our home and our children.
Yes,
and our
Lord Jesus.
And our grandchildren.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Today.
In the name of Jesus, the rod and the staff of the evil, the strong man.
The strong man. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Against our children and our grandchildren
yes,
and our
Jesus.
Children
yes,
and our homes.
Yes,
Lord Jesus.
We are seated in heavenly places. In Christ.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
We have
Jesus.
The right to divinely
yes.
decree
yes, right.
with authority to the strong
yes,
man.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord Jesus.
That we have a stronger one than you, who is Jesus Christ, the righteous at the right hand of the
yes,
Father.
Lord Jesus.
We decree to take your
yes.
hand off of my children
yes,
and of my children's children.
Grandchildren.
We declare.
Yes.
We declare.
In the name of Jesus.
By the heavenly authority.
By the heavenly
authority.
In the heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
That he will stand between you and our children and our children's children. You will
yes.
not rob them of their inheritance in Christ.
That's right.
We rebuke you.
Thank you.
We bind
yes,
you.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Our time is up unto tomorrow.
Jesus.
May the Lord permit us tomorrow
Jesus.
To continue.
Jesus.
We love you. And Jesus is Lord. Elijah must first come. Y'all have
Amen.
A blessed evening now.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Thank God for the broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. As my brother said, tomorrow we'll be back with another broadcast at 7 p.m. So once again, we love y'all. May God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Yes.